The tall, blonde woman swept back her robe and put her hands on her hips, glaring at the young girl in front of her. Frowning, she eyed the child's adult companion. "How far along is she?" The room was dark, barely allowing the two visitors to make out much beyond the rows of thick, old books jammed onto sagging bookcases. Dried herbs and flowers had been tied in small bundles and stacked on shelves, giving the space the faint aroma of a health spa. Other than that, the room was dark and still. A cat stepped through an entrance in the back somewhere, yawning and stretching as its green eyes flashed in the candlelight. Its shiny black coat made it nearly invisible as it turned and wandered off. "The child is early in her learning," the trembling woman stepped forward, her voice wavering. "But she sees well, visions of future events at times, and without the aid of a potion or fire." The blonde woman narrowed her eyes. "This is what you've been told." "No, mistress. As her mother, this is what I've witnessed from Madeline with my own eyes for 10 years. "Is it?" The instructor picked up a worn, leather-bound book with a dusty cover, an embossed pentagram adorning its front. Curvaceous and toned, she sent her long, rose-gold-colored hair over her shoulder with a flick of her head. The silvery, white and pink-tinted edges bounced and swirled to the middle of her slender back. "Let's find out." Turning, the leggy blonde walked deeper into the darkness of her gallery, passing through a doorway and into a large chamber with a warm, roaring fireplace. The mother followed as far as the doorway. "I was told..." "Be silent or be gone, woman!" From the fireplace, the blonde's eyes flashed at the mother. "Do not insult me with talk of payment. One cannot offer money for my services. If my terms are agreed to, we proceed, and the price will be whatever I require." She looked at Madeline. "The training is intense, child, grueling. It will break you down and wear you down. It will age you beyond your years. But already you know, the gift must be used, or it will destroy you. Are you prepared to commit?" The mother nodded. "She will." She glanced at the fireplace. The instructor was no longer there. "Silence!" The mistress appeared at the mother's side, waving her hand. The woman's head snapped back. She howled as she dropped to her knees, putting a hand to her red cheek. Her mouth hanging open, she peered up at the instructor. "I speak only to the child," the witch hissed, her chest heaving. "You cannot commit for another, not for this. The decision is hers and hers alone. The child must decide." Madeline's mother cowered on the floor, her cheek red and hot. "Yes, Madame Chanticleer." As the dark robe flowed around her, the instructor swept in front of the child. "You will forgo your youth and beauty for my instruction. Your friends and the comfort of your life, such as it is, all this and more I will demand, for what will be gained at my side cannot be learned anywhere else. You will agree or you will leave now, just as I had to when I was your age." "Your youth and beauty were sacrificed?" The child stepped forward, gazing at the instructor in the glow of the fireplace. "But you were beautiful, mistress." "Am I?" The witch took a deep breath and let it out slowly, stretching her arms out from her sides. Closing her eyes, she leaned her head back. A low groan escaped her lips. Wrinkles etched themselves into her firm forehead and neck. Full, supple breasts pouted and sagged, drawn close to her caving ribs. Her back arched, hunching and curving as a long, withered cane stretched down from her hand. As the haggard instructor leaned on the walking stick, moles grew from her cheek and lip. Bags appeared under her eyes, dragging her withered, spotty flesh downward. Pale, white eyes now stared out at the child between strands of thin, matted white hair. The elderly woman smiled at them through worn, yellow teeth, her knotted fingers stretching out from the black robe.
"We of the coven learn to allow the outsiders to see what we want them to see."
The witch's smooth, vibrant voice was now weak and warbling.
"I am but 33 years on this earth. The powers take their toll."
Inhaling deeply again, she closed her eyes. Her former state reappeared. Young and full of vitality, firm and powerful, her long, smooth fingers brushed a lock of hair from the girl's face.
"This is your fate, child. You must accept it willingly. How do you choose?"
Madeline looked down, shifting on her feet.
"I must follow where the powers lead."
Her eyes met her instructor's.
"They brought me to you,
so I will listen and learn as best I can to all you will care to show me. Thunder rumbled outside the room's thin wooden walls.
She's polite, I'll give you that.
The witch strutted around Madeline, looking her over.
And smart, that's a plus.
Chanticleer walked to a large cauldron boiling over the fire. With a short wooden catch, she hoisted the huge pot from the flames, carrying it to a stone pedestal. Placing it there, she stepped away and let the steam rise in front of her.
Come, child, look into the cauldron. Tell me what you see.
I can tell you from here, the girl said.
It is a man. He works on a construction site. The witch's eyes widened.
Go on.
He finds a book. It is like yours, the one you hid under a silk scarf before we entered. It has the same circle and star on the front, and the same markings.
Madeline looked at Chanticleer.
It is a forbidden book, like the many others you've hidden here. The one he found has been burned, but only the outside.
Yes, yes,
the witch nodded, licking her lips.
Go on, what else?
The girl stared at the instructor, looking past her, through her.
He puts it in the wrong... I don't know what it's called.
Describe it.
The child sighed.
I see a big metal container for trash, heavy and long, but the book can't go in there. Wood with nails and broken drywall go in there.
Chanticleer nodded.
What does he do?
His friend calls to him. It's lunchtime. The first man throws the book into a different big container. It's nearly full. The book sits on top. Their boss sees and takes the book out.
Show me.
Madeline's gaze focused on Chanticleer.
What?
Show me.
The witch strolled across the room to stand by the far wall.
Close your eyes and put it here. View the demolition site. The men are on a street corner. The charred remains of the old shop stand behind them. There are many containers for the construction debris.
She swept her hand out.
Imagine it here, on the wall, and it will be so.
Madeline shook her head.
I can't.
You can.
The witch was at Madeline's side, grabbing the child's hands and putting them to her young temple.
Think, see, show me.
Madeline squeezed her eyes shut, pursing her lips. The far wall glowed, turning from black to brown to orange. Reds and yellows appeared, forming the man's hard hat and his safety vest. His husky friend sat on a milk crate, opening a lunchbox.
Paper always goes in the red bin, Tommy, the fat man said. But not if it's burned. All the burned debris go into the gray bin.
Okay. Tommy held the book up, staring at its charred cover. Running his fingers across the embossed leather, he glanced at his friend.
This is old. Seems like it might be valuable.
The fat man shook his head.
Everybody went through this place and took anything valuable a long time ago. If it's here, it's garbage, but we still have to sort it into the right container.
In the dark hall, Chanticleer leaned down close to Madeline's ear.
What is the name of the fat man?
The child looked at the wall.
Charles.
And their boss?
Mr. McCloskey. The man, Tommy, is new. He lost his job and Charles is helping him make ends meet.
Yes,
the witch clapped her hands.
What else do you see?
A boy took the book,
Madeline said.
And he... Not yet.
Chanticleer shook her head, whispering. She put her hands on the girl's shoulders.
Show me all the steps.
Madeline nodded.
I see Tommy. He takes the burned cover off the book as a joke. Then he throws it into the bin for the burned things.
And the book, the pages?
Madeline glanced at the witch.
Is that what you want?
He tossed the pages into the recycle container.
That's where she got it.
Slow.
Chanticleer panted.
Go slowly. Tell me all the steps so we can follow its path and know it's the same book.
Madeline looked into the witch's deep brown eyes.
His daughter came and the book fell out of the bin. It was on the top and it slipped off as she approached.
Chanticleer gasped.
It fell, or did it go to her?
Madeline shrugged. I don't know, mistress.
It doesn't matter,
the witch whispered.
Go on.
Madeline narrowed her eyes. Sweat formed on her brow.
She asked, well, she was bringing him his lunch. She's his daughter. Her name is Tiffany.
She was panting now, as if each word weighed 20 pounds and had to be lifted from deep inside her, one by one, using only her rail-thin arms.
She has brown hair, like his, and wears red sneakers.
Are her clothes dirty?
No.
Madeline shook her head.
She looks friendly and very clean.
Focus. Why is she there?
I said...
The child's breath was heavy.
To bring his lunch.
You must look deeper. Chanticleer shook the child.
Why is she there?
Madeline scanned the wall, gazing into the images.
The book.
Yes. The witch's eyes widened.
Yes.
Madeline quivered.
I don't know.
You do. Say it.
It called to her.
The witch gasped.
The book speaks? No.
The child was gazing through the wall now. She was on the street corner in front of the burned-out shop, standing next to Tiffany as the girl turned her head and spied the book out of the corner of her eye. She reached down and picked it up, flipping through its old, yellowed pages.
It's not like a voice, Madeline said. It's more like a feeling. She was drawn to it.
The witch kneeled at Madeline's side, her eyes locked on the child.
But she doesn't keep it. Why? She was afraid.
Madeline swallowed hard.
It made her feel strange, sick.
Chanticleer nodded, her voice a whisper.
So, she is not of the coven.
She glanced at Madeline.
Why did the book call her? To bridge the gap.
Madeline stared at the wall.
That's where the boy gets it, from her trash. He rides his bike past her house and sees her in the kitchen window, doing dishes. But the book beckons to him.
The witch put a hand to her mouth.
And why does he take it?
The book called to him.
Madeline breathed hard.
It spoke to her, and it spoke to him.
She broke her trance, looking at Chanticleer.
But why? I don't understand.
The blonde witch stood, sweeping her hands out and casting lights and shadows over the wall. The images of Tiffany's house disappeared.
Because the powers of the book isn't contained on its pages, Chanticleer said. It is spellbound, in essence unto the paper, permeating it the way the smell of smoke lingers in a cold, empty fireplace. The pages are mere representations so we can understand. The real power of the book is as mine is, beyond what we can touch or hold. It stirs inside those who speak its language, calling us and guiding us to where the spirits on the other side want us to go. You and I, we are merely vessels for the energy to pass through, directing us in its path to its destinations.
Madeline stood, her shoulders heaving, but her eyes on Chanticleer.
The boy.
The blonde witch gazed into Madeline's eyes. He takes the book.
And? He reads,
Madeline said.
And?
Leaning forward, Chanticleer faced the child.
What happens if he reads?
Madeline shook her head.
I don't know. You do!
The witch grabbed the child by the shoulders.
See it! Tell me!
Madeline's gaze darted around the room.
He...
The witch leaned closer.
Yes? I can't tell.
Tears welled in the child's eyes.
It's not there.
It is!
Chanticleer gripped the girl's collar.
Tell me! He sees.
She swallowed hard.
He reads the stories on the page and that... It... They...
Thunder rumbled overhead. Chanticleer shook Madeline.
It makes them turn real, doesn't it?
She shouted.
It makes the stories come true! Yes!
Tears ran down Madeline's cheeks. Chanticleer's mouth hung open.
An innocent must be the pathway. He is the innocent.
She released her grip on the girl.
Madeline sagged to the floor, sobbing. But I don't understand. The girl.
A transporter, nothing more. Chanticleer paced back and forth.
The boy will unleash what is contained within the pages, because he will read them without knowing what he is doing.
Gasping, Madeline looked up from the floor.
And the stories?
Chanticleer raised an eyebrow.
You tell me.
Your mother says you have the sight. Pushing herself up on her elbows, Madeline stared at the wall again.
The book is the mate to yours, the one you hid under the scarf. When he reads the stories, some will come true, others will not. Many are simply spells disguised as fables or folklore, so those who aren't learned in our ways can't discover them and look for those who write such things or practice our arts. So we hide?
Chanticleer rushed to the shelf and yanked back the scarf, revealing her book. The circled star and strange letters matched the one displayed on the wall, held in the boy's hands.
We hide in plain sight.
Chanticleer folded the scarf and laid it on the shelf beside the book. As our kind has done for 700 years. Madeline nodded.
And now we begin our lessons.
Chanticleer handed Madeline the book.
Read the stories.